There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
From the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Stadium, this is a Dubai Eye 103.8 Sports Special. Live at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships.
Ain't it just? We are live down here at the Tennis Village and live from the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships, where it is finals day. We will have the doubles final and, of course, the women's single final coming your way between now and close of play here on Dubai Eye 103.8. And that ain't all, not just the tennis action live here in Dubai, but a whole host of sport right here on the grill. It is our little spring break, if you like, as we head on down to the Irish Village, to the Tennis Village, to broadcast from here and say farewell to our spiritual home of Barasti for a couple of weeks of live tennis action. Ain't all about the tennis, though. This afternoon we've got Burnley against Tottenham kicking off in 25 minutes early in the Premier League. Two games off at 7 p.m. plus a late one live here on Dubai Eye 103.8. Leicester against Crystal Palace at 9:30 this evening. There are earlies over in Europe as well. Getafe taking on Rayo Vallecano. That one's just got underway already. There's a live action from the Bundesliga from 6:30 this evening. Over in Serie A, we've got Torino up against Atalanta from 6 p.m. And it's not just about the football either. Cricket fans well catered for. Afghanistan against Ireland from 5 p.m. this afternoon. Two games in the Pakistan Super League to look forward to, being played over in Sharjah this afternoon into this evening. As I mentioned, tennis finals here in Dubai. There's golf over in Mexico. Super League is back in the UK. And of course, we look forward not just to one of the biggest derbies in English football, but also a cup final tomorrow afternoon. Plus, four games in the Gallagher Premiership from 6 p.m. Three games in the Pro 14 from 5 p.m. Super Rugby live whilst we're on air, and two absolute belters in the Six Nations. First up, it is Scotland over in France, and then one of the great games of international rugby. Passion aplenty as England make their way down to Cardiff for a Six Nations Classic.
This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
It's Wales against England in Cardiff. And Johnny May is a Six Nations try scorer. What footballing skills by Daly.
That is an unbelievable tackle.
So much sport to look forward to, and two pundits here with us already. We're going to be joined by so many throughout the course of the afternoon. The grill will sort of morph into our live coverage of the finals down here at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships. But to get us up and running, to get us underway, we've put together a Manchester United fan and a Liverpool fan. See what we've done there? We will talk about that one a little later on. Danny Norton, welcome to the show.
Great to be here, Tom. Thank you very much.
Burnley against Tottenham, early kickoff in the Premier League. Tottenham looking to re-establish some dominance at the top of the league.
Absolutely, they can move to within 3 points of 2 points of leaders Manchester City at the top of the Premier League should they win at Burnley this afternoon. And the good news for Spurs fans is that Harry Kane makes his return to the team for the first time since the 13th of January. Danny Rose also comes back in as well. Lucas Moura and Davinson Sanchez are the guys to miss out there. So just give you the team quickly. Lloris in goal. You got Foyth, Alderweireld, Vertonghen as the back three. Sissoko and wings just in front of them, with Aurier and Rose on the wings there, and then it's Eriksen and Son hovering behind that man Harry Kane. So tremendous news for them, but it's going to take some doing to beat Burnley, though, because they've got their captain Tom Heaton, who is skippering the side again. And just reading, he's got a tremendous record. Burnley haven't been beaten with him in the side since, I think it's August 2017. I know he's been out for a long time with injury, but still, it's quite a record, and they've done obviously very well since he's returned just a matter of weeks ago anyway. So it's going to be a tough ask for Spurs. They've been in great form of late. late, and they're going to be boosted by the return of their talisman at the front.
That one's getting off at 4:30. We will have all the details for you as and when the goals go in, so keep it locked here on Dubai Owen at 3.8. I've got to try and keep these two either side of the table at the moment, keep them from each other's necks. They've already been at it, you know, having a bit of to and fro about Liverpool against Manchester United tomorrow, but we will talk about that in more detail a little later on. Mark Archer also with us. And Archie boy, what a day for rugby fans out there.
Oh, Tom, it's a massive day in Planet Rugby, isn't it? Now, let me mark your card here. Two matches in the Guinness Six Nations, four games in the English Premiership, three encounters in the Pro 14, five matches only in the Top 14 in France, and six matches to talk about in Super Rugby. So I don't know where to begin, but there is only one place to start, really. It's all about the Six Nations. 6:15 UAE time in Paris. France will host Scotland. And then, of course, 8:45 UAE, Cardiff is the venue. And Grand Slam aspirations will end for one of the two teams. Wales will take on England. It's a clash of the two undefeated teams. Both teams bang in form. I think Wales are trying to win a record 12th straight test match. And Eddie Jones' England has looked had two emphatic bonus point victories against Ireland and France in the first two matches. So someone's got to give this afternoon in Cardiff, and it's going to be a cracker of a match there. Also looking forward to talking about a bit of cricket. A massive news earlier today, a monumental victory for Sri Lanka over in South Africa is really blown me away, just getting the update from there.
I want to kick off the conversation about that, because it sort of leads on to a wider conversation, maybe even be a wilder conversation, who knows, with the boys I've got in front of me at the moment. But I want to talk about form, if I can, and the fact that we, as sports journalists, as sports broadcasters, sports fans, sports pundits, we get very excited about form. We like reading form in whatever sport we talk about, and yet. And we get we're very used in the media to we're used to hyperbole, are we not, when it comes to things like form. In every sport I can think of, and just this latest victory for Sri Lanka is a perfect example of that. But a long list of examples where we are very quick to pronounce somebody as either finished in their game or done for in their game or a world beater for many years to come. A couple of examples that I can think of, and I was thinking about in the cab on the way down here today. Naomi Osaka. This time last week, all of us were sat around a table going, this girl is the future. This girl is going to win everything and anything that's put in front of her for the years to come. And she well may do that. However, she has had a blip. She has had a little bit of a blip, and there have been a couple of question marks asked of her. England, Wales, Ireland in the Six Nations. All going into the Six Nations, Ireland were world beaters. They were going to win the World Cup. Absolutely no problem at all. No one had mentioned Wales because they'd had a bit of an indifferent time of it and gone under the radar. England had been written off. They were 7-1 at the beginning of the tournament. Now they're bang on favourites for the whole thing. West Indies cricket, again. We didn't expect them to do anything down in the West Indies against England. They win a series against England. Then we see England very dominant in the first one-day international, and then absolutely obliterated by West Indies last night as well. It's the headline writing, isn't it, that goes on, that sells papers, where our sporting memories are about 24 hours now, aren't they?
They are, but I think people like to look for kind of patterns, don't they? And you like to big up teams, and you big up teams when they go on a little bit of a run, don't you? And always remember, actually, it used to be a bit of a kind of running joke in my old radio station back home in Liverpool, where I used to go and cover the Liverpool and Everton matches, and Roberto Martinez was in charge of Everton at the time, and it was a running joke every week, because every week he'd use the word momentum. Without question, whether Everton were winning or losing, he'd be talking about momentum and the fact that it's so important to build momentum into whatever game it was going in, whether it was a League Cup game or a massive Premier League derby against Liverpool or Manchester United, whatever it be, he would use that word momentum. And it's interesting when you see kind of different sports people, different sports managers, stars, wherever it might be, will kind of look at form in different ways. Some will put a lot of emphasis on it and use words like momentum, whereas others will completely dismiss it and use the old cliche of, oh, it just all goes out the window, doesn't it? All that matters is what happens today in the here and now. Forget about everything else. But we can't help it, can we, when we see teams start to go on these runs, like Archer just mentioned there, Wales going for a record 12th consecutive win. But for me, that's kind of gone under the radar in a sense, because of England's form. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because it kind of puts the extra pressure onto teams. And that's what we were arguing about before, wasn't it? You know, when it comes to the big derby tomorrow between Liverpool and Manchester United, that word pressure. But then, don't you want pressure anyway? You know, and wouldn't you rather be on this big run of form to try and break these records? Isn't that the whole purpose of participating in sport?
And you know, people and humans are creatures of habit. So once you get into a winning habit, things tend to go your way. You get the bounce of the ball, you get the luck of the draw, you get the referee's decisions. When you can't buy a goal or buy a point or score a try or kick a conversion or whatever it may be, win a tennis match, nothing seems to go for you. It just the way things tend to happen. So winning culture, mentality, that kind of consistency week in, week out does do something. But that result today, earlier, in South Africa, where just let me put you in the picture with this, to throw about, you know, to throw the form book, throw the guide, throw the history out the window here. Sri Lanka have beaten South Africa by 8 wickets. They beat them a week ago comprehensively as well. They've just become the first Asian team to win a test series in South Africa. Only two other teams have won series in South Africa, England and Australia. It's phenomenal. But only a couple of weeks ago, they were getting thrashed in New Zealand and getting thrashed in Australia. They might as well not even shown up.
Thrashed at home by England as well. That's what confirms it even more. When they weren't winning at home, they weren't really expected to win away, but they were expected to win in their own conditions, get beaten in the series by England and Sri Lanka.
And conditions in South Africa are stacked in favour of the home team. You know, the pace bowling, Dale Steyn, Kagiso Rabada, they just dominate there. They blow teams away. But Sri Lanka have just found an answer. And you look at a guy like Kushal Mendes, who's kind of been always known, he's had some talent. He's had a week. He can write history. He's rewritten history books. He's had the best week he'll ever have in his career. 153 not out, chasing a score to win the first test match. He's just gone and hit 84 not out off 110 balls to almost win the second test match. He won't repeat that. He won't have a week in his career like that again.
That is my point. And okay, taking that as an example, we've written off Sri Lankan cricket in recent months, and they've come back and confounded all their critics with an extraordinary series win. But we're not alone. It's because we are so used to those headlines the following day, going, oh, you know what, this is indicative of the state of Sri Lankan cricket, or West Indies cricket, or Naomi Osaka, whatever it might be in that game. And we forget that, you know, that's the beauty. That's why we come together to talk about sport in general.
Exactly, and you forget as well that maybe all this kind of negative headlines, I mean, you think back to about 2 weeks ago when Sri Lanka first arrived in South Africa, and the word turmoil was the one that was being bandied about. There was, you know, issues between the selectors and the administrators and the coach and so on. But at the same time, you've got to remember, what impact is that having on the dressing room when they're seeing all these headlines? Is that not surely not going to be a case of us against the world, kind of building up that kind of mentality to strike back? And those are the kind of headlines. The headlines will work in different kind of ways. And, you know, the more inspirational coaches and players will use them in their own particular way and kind of turn them and twist them to get in the psyche of the players and get the result out, which is what Sri Lanka have done here, which, it's like Art said, a remarkable result for them, really tremendous in that. But this is sport, isn't it? This is why we love sport, because it's so unpredictable.
Talking of sport, we're going to get back to more sport for you in just a few moments' time. We're going to be talking to a number of familiar faces down here at the tennis as well. So if you are in the vicinity, do come down and say hi. We're broadcasting live from the Tennis Village.
This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 Sports Special, live at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships.
You're live from the tennis. We're down here live from the Tennis Village at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships. It's finals day as well. We're just waiting for the start of the doubles final. That won't be on court before 5 p.m. Just look at pictures coming from centre court at the moment. One of our finalists for the singles final, Petra Kvitova, the second seed, is out there on court warming up as we speak. We'll have plenty of chat ahead of Bencic against Kvitova, not before 7 o'clock this evening. What's happening in Sharjah? Mark Archer.
Pakistan Super League cricket is happening in Sharjah. Tom, two matches today, doubleheader. First match is Lahore taking on Quetta. I can tell you Lahore batting first. They were put into bat by Quetta Gladiators. They're 80 for 4 after 11 of their 20 overs. Key man at the wicket for Lahore, A.B. de Villiers. He's on 17 not out. He's faced 14 deliveries, hit 1-4 so far. So he's building into his innings there. Can he get Lahore up to a competitive score? Second match later this evening in Sharjah is Karachi taking on Islamabad. We'll bring you all the runs and wickets as they happen in Sharjah throughout the afternoon.
Good on, fellow. We've been joined by a man who has been a staple of the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships, I think, since pretty much the naissance. Clark Francis, the man who makes things tick down here throughout the entirety of the year and also provides all the ball boys, all the ball girls, and the line judges as well. Do you do line judging?
No, not me.
Courses?
That's Mr. Hani.
Mr. Hani does that, does he?
Mr. Hani El-Khafif, who's done it the similar time as me.
Yeah.
We both started in 1993 with Collar Masters to take care of it, and we've done, God forbid, 27 years now.
Wow.
Really say that.
Couple of stories though, haven't you?
One or two I could tell you. I'm like, what time are they on? Seven? Yeah, we should be okay.
It's great to have you here as well. Give us a try, and for all those that are that tune in and want to find out a bit more about the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships, there are so many sort of familiar faces around the championship. You just have to look around. Sinead's over there. Hey, Sinead, you're right. Everyone's round about. Oh dear, look, they're all in today.
Mr. Katanak's around.
Katanak's put a tie on for it as well. Look at that, eh? So everyone's around and about. How much has it grown in the years that you spoke about, or has it still sort of retained that village mentality?
Wow, well, there's Mr. Katanak. He remembers the one we first did with that propped up stadium that blew down on the Saturday and then blew down again on the Sunday. They had to rebuild it, and we played on the Monday, which was Novacek against Santoro, and Karol Novacek won on the Monday. And it was we built the stadium 3 years later, Dave, was it?
We'll get the thoughts over here. Dave's just joined us. Dave Katanak. We've got a microphone came out of nowhere as well for you there.
Just popped in there, yeah.
Look at that, mate. How are you?
I'm very good. Nice to see you guys.
Yeah, we're just taking a trip down memory lane to earliest memories of the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships.
Oh, it was amazing because I wasn't working. I was working across the road at Dubai International Hotel, and Colin McLaughlin invited me to a tennis tournament. I knew nothing about it. It was amazing. It was like, as Clark said, it was a little village that just popped out of nowhere. And we got the pictures of right at the start as we progressed. And yeah, it was in the middle of the desert.
But like we were just saying to Clarky there, this idea, it, as much as it's grown and the seeds that it's attracted and the big names and the sponsorships, it's always retained that sort of village mentality, isn't it?
I think it's very important to the owners. I mean, I've just been in the changing rooms having a quick shower, and the tennis players are there, but nobody's bothering them. Nobody interrupts what they're doing. And I think that's one of the great things about Dubai. And it has kept, I think, Colm and Dubai Duty Free want it to keep the village while it grew big as well. I don't mean the Irish village, I mean the whole village feel to it. And I think they've been very, very successful at it.
In terms of the sort of pressures that have been put on you, we've seen the tournament grow in stature. It's grown in sort of recognition from WTA as well. It's grown in the number of players, the days this week, this year as well. Has there sort of been a respective growth in the sort of demands on the ball boys and the ball girls and the efforts that you have to put in?
Very much so this year, excuse me, because we've had a 64 draw this year. We share the 64 draw with Qatar. This last year was 32, and they had the 64. We've had the challenge of doing nearly 600 rackets in a week this week with three stringing machines, seven stringers. They're here at 7 o'clock in the morning, and they're still here at 1 o'clock in the morning, and then they're back again the next day. And every player wants it now. They want it now, and they want it perfect, and it's got to be on the same machine, and a lot of them want the same stringer. That's probably the most stressful part of what I get up to during these 2 weeks, making sure their rackets are perfect, because that's their tools that they're plying their trade with. The ball kids, we've done 14 weeks of training with them, so we start in November. We've set such high standards for ourselves. Yes, I don't mean that immodestly, but we have set such standards, and we've been described by Jerry Armstrong, for example, as the standard by which all of the ball kids will be judged. We took, you know, having been at the French Open, the Australian Open, we kind of took the best bits of all of them. You know, people from England don't like me saying this, but I find the ball kids in Wimbledon a little bit robotic. The ones at the French Open, if you've seen them, I mean, they are complete athletes. They hurl the ball down at each other. And then, of course, you've got the US Open, and they're not kids at all. And they actually throw the ball overarm to the other end. Have you seen that? They don't actually roll it. They just hurl it down the other end like a baseball throw, and the guy plicks it out the ground, which is great. So we kind of took the best bits of all of them, and then we've implemented into these kids. And I actually stand there and promise them I'm going to make them the best ball kids on the planet. And I honestly think we do.
And are they, in terms of the ball kids, are they all players in their own right?
Or 95% of them are players. They're certainly athletes. They do other sports. Some of them see it on the TV. They'll see it this week. Oh, I wouldn't mind having a crack at that. It's very important that they are tennis players, or they know the game, because they understand the nuances of the player, when he wants the ball, not to eyeball the player when he's giving the towel. That, you know, their job is to get the ball to the player. That's it. Yeah. And this week, to get the towel to the player. The men are very needy with their towel. They want it every single match, because they can serve a winner if the serve is perfect without hitting another shot. So they make sure that everything's perfect. No, I don't mean any disrespect to the ladies, yeah, but they don't serve the same speed as the men. So if you knock one down at
225 and it goes on the line, it doesn't really matter who's at the other end, it's not coming back. So that's how important the serve has become.
Obviously, a lot of effort goes in from you and your team, as it does for you and your team, DC, as well. I mean, do you have to bring in extra staff for the fortnight?
Yeah, we have about 40 extra staff to complement the ones we have, because we do the VIP and we do the catering. So, yeah, that's also a challenge, because, you know, to get them in, like Clark says with the ball kids, you know, it's down. Our staff are quite relaxed. We don't like the five-star white gloves. We like the chat. And so to bring these guys in. But we use the same company, and a lot of the guys are really, really good. So, yeah, it is a challenge, but it's a great challenge to have.
And it's obviously an expansion over the fortnight. You just look at the Tennis Village area, their extra sort of serving areas in the Irish Village, all sorts of concessions in and around the whole facility down here as well. I suppose it's also quite a good advertising tool for what goes on down here.
Well, that's it. We've been using social media and telling people, if you don't want to come to the tennis, just come down the atmosphere, because it's the best place to come in the this week and last week. Yeah. Next week and this week. It's amazing. Just sit outside, and you know, then we're going into the rugby later, and tomorrow is Liverpool. And so there's going around our normal, there's all the people walking around, and it's absolutely fabulous. So I've just got to say about Clarkie and his team, I'm his landlord, and we make it quite difficult for him to operate training the kids, because we have to close the courts to resurface them to bring them to the standard. And this year we closed centre court.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, this time we closed centre court, but we closed them all. So, I mean, he does I'm not blowing his trumpet, but it's a great job, because he has to move around our resurfacing and players' parties and things. So I just give him a little kudos on that one. But yeah, it's great to be part of this. And it's just people coming down, and we've got a new Arabic restaurant, we've got a new Greek restaurant in Century Village. So I think people, we say sometimes Century Village has become the forgotten Dubai. People go, Century Village, where's that? Yeah. So it's a good chance for people to come down and sit outside, and there's very, very few places like this left in Dubai.
So that's the problem as well, because I know three of us, well, four of us as well, and Danny to more recently, you've been here for a long time. There's a number of things, you know, am I allowed to call it the Aviation Club anymore, or the Century Village, or is it still the Irish Village, or is it the Dubai Duty Free International Tennis Stadium? There are so many sort of names, because there has been that evolution down here over the years.
Exactly. Well, we're still the Aviation Club. We own the hotel. We own Jumeirah Creekside. They manage it for us. So as a property, it is Aviation Club. It is Century Village. It is Irish Village. And I think it's, for me, I live across the road. I come on my days off here when it's not the tennis. And it's still, for me, the best place to be. I know Dubai is amazing. I'm not knocking new Dubai, but I love old Dubai.
We're extremely fortunate. We do this show regularly down at Barasti, the other end of town. But this is one of the best couple of weeks. We do get to come down from there and really, really have a great atmosphere down here. We're all looking forward to the rugby later on. But the tournament's grown massively over the years. Are there next sort of steps to take it to another level? The player field this week and next week is phenomenal. The best players in men's and women's tennis are here for these couple of weeks. Can it grow any further? Are there developments happening with the facility? Are they around from a tennis perspective and a facility perspective? What can happen next?
Because I think
we continually evolve, don't we?
We need to answer that question, David, because the only way it can go any further, I mean, first of all, player-wise, no, it can't get any better. We had 9 of the top 10. I posted on my page the other day, I've got the 6 ex-number ones playing in my back garden. I mean, it was ridiculous level of tennis. It was fantastic. David knows that the stadium only holds 5,500. To go to a 1,000 tournament, it has to hold 7,500. I mean, 5-6 years ago, Dave, you had plans, didn't you? But it meant knocking down the VIP. Personally, I've been to a lot of stadiums in the world. This is my favourite stadium. It's the perfect size. There's not a bad seat in the house. There is not a bad seat. I went to watch Sampras Agassi in 95 at the US Open. I stayed for one set and went down and watched it on the TV and had a Heineken. Oh, I'm not allowed to say that, am I? There you go, that's fine. But they were the sponsors. And that was a sponsor's seat. It was quite incredible. So I was with, God bless him, Paul Bott.
Oh, yeah.
And, that's what we did. And I took my father to Federer-Nadal final at Wimbledon. I stayed for a set and we went to Henman Hill. It was way more fun, and it was just a better atmosphere. That's going to be electric tonight.
Yeah.
And then come Monday or Tuesday night, there is nothing like a Federer night. I mean, there really is nothing. You think this is good. A Federer night is special.
But is that not a challenge that we've sort of seen? And we sort of highlighted it earlier. When we're getting big crowds in the beginning of the week because there is so much in the draw, And then, if they, you know, they have a bad week or something like that, maintaining those crowds throughout the week so that you've got the big crowds in for your semi-finals and final as well.
I think people don't understand. I mean, for the ladies' tennis, the matches have been absolutely amazing. Yeah. Absolutely stunning matches. The best tennis I've been watching in years. And I think people are missing out. They go, tennis this and tennis that. And who's playing? I don't actually know that name. But every match, there's only been one that's been a bit off. But the rest of it's been electric. I mean, last night was absolutely fantastic,
wasn't it?
Out of my seat, you know?
You know what I think we'd like to say while we've got this limited chance to come on, Tom, is that you can go and watch. 5 years ago, Federer played Yuzhny on court 3, where I play on a Saturday morning with all the kids, and it's free. You don't need a ticket. You only need a ticket to go in the stadium, to come down to the Century Village and go and have great steak and great pizza, etc., etc., and fantastic atmosphere. You walk in there for free. Roger's practicing on one of the courts now. There'll be a big rush now, won't there? But they won't get past the big security guys.
Sit down, Archer. Sit down, Archer.
Before you cut me off, do you mind if I just tell you about this?
Just to reiterate that point as well, because I was amazed looking at the scheduling the other day, and obviously we've had more players this year. But Angie Kirby, you know, former world number one, current Wimbledon champion, was playing once the outside courts.
And Muguruza also.
And Muguruza, yeah.
Both played. We had two number ones playing back to back, and you can watch them for free. Yeah. Where does that happen? It doesn't. It really doesn't. And then you can go and enjoy Century Village and Irish Village. It's marvellous. Before I have to go, because we actually have to put the kids on the court, this year we're so proud that the tournament has been chosen as one of three events, one Rio, one Shanghai, and one Dubai has been chosen. I don't know if you're familiar with the O2 Masters, are you, in London? It's the end-of-season event, and they run a program called the Barclays Ball Kids, and they go around the entire country looking for 30 ball kids. They have 3,000 applicants, and they have that daunting task of choosing 30. This year, they're only going to choose 24. They've invited two kids from Dubai and two kids from Rio and two kids from Shanghai to join them in London. And the prize is full flight with a chaperone, with their parents, stay in the hotel and actually be ball kids at the O2. It's absolutely amazing. The great thing about it is I don't have to choose them, thank goodness. I've given the gentleman a shortlist and now it's up to him. So that's just an amazing prize and just to show that we're on the right track with these ball kids and they're doing a marvellous job to be able to go there.
If you see two 30-somethings with beards out there practising, one lanky Scot, one from posh, you know, southern England, don't let them have a chance. Would love to be involved.
I had Rob on the stadium the other day. We invited him down because we had a little bit of banter on your show, actually. And he was saying that he thought Djokovic was going to win. And I said, no, I believe that Rafa's going to win. And we were going to have a little bit of a pecuniary interest, but we didn't. So I said, if you win, I'll give you a free lesson on the stadium. And as you know, Djokovic won quite comfortably. So we invited him down and we had ball kids and everything on the stadium for it. And he thoroughly enjoyed himself.
Did I approve that?
No, you didn't.
Okay, I'm just checking. Yeah.
That was whilst they were relaying the court as well. Right, you know, they're in there. You know,
he's not only my landlord; he's my best friend. So it's very difficult. This.
I know you've got to go on court to get the kids on court in just a few moments. Can't let you go without a quick prediction for your beloved Borough. Got QPR? Are you at QPR?
Borough will beat QPR today in a stunning 1-0 victory at Ala Pulis.
Is it up there? Or is it?
It's at the Riverside, of course. Yeah.
And Blackpool beat Charlton 3-0. That's my prediction.
Predictions are plenty coming forward. But you're happy with the way that the Borough are playing this season?
They're playing very Pulis. We knew that. But he gets jobs done, doesn't he, Pulis? And let's hope he'll get us in the top six. I don't think we're going to get above Leeds. They seem to be doing very well. Norwich look really strong. So if we can get in the top six and get in the playoffs, I'll be on a plane and going over to watch them.
And what about the pool as well? Are you happy with the way things are going down there?
We've got rid of our owners now, so we haven't had a home support for 2 years now. No home supporters because Oyston, now he's gone. So we're all right. We're seventh and we're playing good football. And hopefully with players getting support at home, we'll get in the playoffs and I'll be on the plane as well.
What league's that, Dave?
That's League
is that
One.
The conference,
yeah, that League One. We're the best Premiership side. We beat Liverpool and Man United.
We'll talk more football with the guys in just a little while. We'll talk more football on the show in just a little while. Quick question before we say farewell to you both. There are a lot of rugby fans listening in at the moment going, oh no, it's the tennis. But that's not the case.
No, we've got screens outside, screens inside, and we will, tonight the Scots match will be outside without commentary, but inside, and then England and Wales will be
Turn the volume up, are you?
Just as long as the match doesn't go on too long. But we've got enough screens for everybody. We're showing all the matches.
Dave Katnack, thank you so much indeed for all your efforts down the years and, of course, over the course of the Women's Week. Looking forward to Men's Week next week. Thanks to you and all your team.
Thanks, and thanks for the mention of Barasti. We appreciate
well
it.
Well done, RJ.
Philip Barasti is a lovely guy. We're always talking about how well we're doing.
And Clarkie, thanks very much indeed to you. Well done, Philip, for yet another extraordinary Women's Week, and looking forward to Men's Week.
Thanks for inviting me on.
Francis and Dave Katnack. Apparently they're best friends. Still best friends or not after
absolutely
all these years? Yeah?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, nodding his head. Get away. All right, we're going to take a short break. In fact, just to take us that break, we've got early kickoff in the Premier League. Burnley against Spurs is underway. Any score in that one yet?
No, it's still 0-0 around about 10 minutes into the game so far. Been quite a quiet start by Harry Kane, who's only got on the ball a few times anyway, but I'm sure that will soon change. But 0-0 so far at Turf Moor.
Let's hear from the respective managers of these two teams, shall we? We'll start with... let's start with Burnley's Sean Dyche, who says they are going to have an attack and defend. They're going to have to attack this afternoon and to defend well to get something from the game.
You've got to find ways to get points. You've got to find ways to get a foothold in the game. Sometimes it opens up for you. Sometimes you have to work hard to defend it out. Sometimes, you know, we've had to find very many different ways to try and win games and get points on the board in the Premier League. We continue to do that. You know, at home is slightly different, not always, but often. But they're a top side, so we know we've got to defend well, but we've also got to attack well, which we have been doing, and we have been very effective with that in the last run of games of the seven games. You know, we've been very effective at attack.
Let's hear from Moussa Sissoko now of Spurs, who's compared his teammate Harry Winks to Steven Gerrard in the last week.
Harry's, I think since I came, he improved a lot, and then I like the style he played. It reminds me a little bit of Steven Gerrard. So I think if he keep going on that way, he will become a big, big player. Since now a few months, he's doing well. He's doing a great job. And you can see he's playing with confidence. And then, he has good skills, good ability. So, and it's good to have him with us.
Mauricio Pochettino also in action. He's just focused on this game, which is underway already early in the Premier League. It is Burnley against Spurs, rather than the upcoming games. Some tough ones for Spurs in the coming weeks, Chelsea and Arsenal.
For me, the most important game is Burnley. If we're capable to win the 3 points there, it's going to be different. We are going to see the game against Chelsea in a different way. And I think it's so important to win, and the mentality is good, and hope that in all that week, in 10 days that we had to work to translate this message, that not think in Chelsea, don't think in Arsenal, don't think in Dortmund, is only focus on Burnley, because it's going to be tough. We can struggle if we are not focused 100% in to compete in the best way. We need to compete in the best way Saturday, and then football, you can, everything can happen.
This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 Sports Special, live at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships.
Let's just get around the grounds if we can and give you a quick score update. Let's start with the Premier League. Any developments there as yet?
Yes, so the early kickoff up at Turf Moor, Burnley 0, Tottenham 0 so far. We're just 13 minutes into the match. Not much goal mouth action as we can see as of yet. Harry Kane is back in the starting lineup for Spurs, who are in tremendous form, but so are Burnley as well. They're unbeaten in the last seven Premier League games. It's going to be a real tight one up there at Turf Moor. As you'd expect, Tottenham dominating possession so far, but like I say, not too much goal mouth action at the moment. There's also an early kickoff over in Spain's La Liga. Getafe taking on Rayo Vallecano, and I can tell you that the host Getafe are 1-0 up. Jamie Mata scoring just before the half hour mark there, and it's just heading towards half time at the moment.
Mark Archers, keeping an eye on the cricket for us.
Yeah, two matches today in the Pakistan Super League from Sharjah. The late match tonight is Karachi taking on Islamabad. The match underway already is Lahore Qualanders taking on the Quetta Gladiators. Lahore are batting first, and they've just lost the very big wicket of Vees. Has been caught. Smith bowled Sohail Tanvar for 20. Key wicket for Lahore currently is AB de Villiers, 36 not out off only 28 deliveries. So they are 119 for 5. They have 4.2 overs remaining of their 20. So 15.4 overs completed, 119 for 5. They'll be looking for a score up around 170 or 180. Can AB de Villiers take it into another gear there? So five overs remaining of their innings. Will bring you the score update when they get to the halfway point, Tom.
Live rugby from 5 o'clock, club rugby that is, and live tennis as well, as we'll have the doubles final for the Dubai 223 Tennis Championship from 5 o'clock on the centre court. We'll keep an eye on that one for you. Lucy Hrdecka and Ekaterina Makarova, the seventh seeds, taking on Su Wei Shea and Barbara Strykova, the third seeds. Talking of the tennis, let's get an update, shall we? Because our man Mohammed Suleiman is out and about.
From the Corporate Sports Championship Dubai 2019, the ultimate sports day experience. This is Dubai Eye 103.8, live on location.
Hey guys, I'm down here at the Swiss International School for day 2 of the Corporate Sports Championship, and I'm joined by Ms. Farah, who is leading one of the many seminars that are taking place here this week. Farah, you just led a seminar on mental health, correct?
Yes, that's correct. It was called Your Mind Matters. And it was a seminar looking at what is the difference between sadness and depression? How can we know whether we're struggling with stress or we're actually experiencing an anxiety disorder? We talked about different components of having emotional hygiene and looking at how workplaces can adapt the mental health first aid program to be able to identify early warning signs that someone's becoming unwell and how to respond to a mental health crisis. Like, what would you say or do if someone was suicidal or if they were having a panic attack?
Do you think there's still a bit of a taboo when it comes to mental health in our societies today?
Yes, I think that it's hugely stigmatized. Most people think that even the word mental health has nothing to do with them. It only has to do with crazy people. So we're really trying to destigmatize emotional health today.
Now, there are more than 18 sports being played here this week. How does a seminar like yours fit in with the overall theme of a sports wellness day?
Yeah. So we know that our mental health and or the health of our mind is directly connected to the health of our body. So there's really no health without mental health as well.
Fantastic. Thank you for speaking to us and enjoy the rest of the week.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Back over to you guys.
From the Corporate Sports Championship Dubai 2019, the ultimate sports day experience. This is Dubai Eye 103.8, live on location.
That was Farah Dahabi from Lighthouse Arabia in conversation with Mohammed Suleiman, our colleague from ARN News, who's live down at the corporate games today. Corporate sports games are taking part here in the UAE. In the meantime, we are live from the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships, and it's great because when you're down here over the course of a week, people come past our broadcast position, they bump into you in other parts of the venue down here, and you start talking sport. That's exactly what I did with our next guest just yesterday. You won't miss him because every single day he's down here, he's sporting a different football top, that's for sure. Monty has joined us live from our broadcast position. Fair to say, Monty, that you are a football fan, is that right?
Oh yes, big time, big time. Thank you for having me here on your show.
But you've got so many, you're wearing the colours of about 4 different teams at the moment.
To be honest, I think I've got around 150 jerseys. I was wearing yesterday for my football match the Leeds United jersey from 2002, you know, when Lee Boyer and Oliver Dacourt, you know, Rio Ferdinand used to play for this great team. Unfortunately, Leeds are no more in the Premier League. But yes, I have a vast collection of over 150 jerseys.
But do you have a team? Do you have a team?
Yes, I do have. I have two teams. Sorry to disappoint you. You just said Man United, but I do support Manchester United, and I like the way FC Barcelona play. You know the style of football. So and that's exactly what Pep Guardiola has brought to the Premier League in form of Manchester City.
Monty, yeah. you're very well travelled when it comes to football. You're a man who travels for the game, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, I have travelled to several cities in Europe, starting with Barcelona. That was my first game. I watched Barcelona versus Sevilla in 2016. At the Camp Nou, when Messi, if you see the goal, that's considered to be the top 5 best free kicks that Messi has scored at the Camp Nou. Then I traveled to Madrid the following year to watch the El Clasico, where Messi did the unthinkable. You know, the 92nd minute goal, 3-2, where he showed the jersey to Santiago Bernabeu, created a rift. We already know how the fans are of Barcelona and Real Madrid. You know, they cannot see each other eye to eye. So, but Messi did what he has to, because that's Messi magic. Then I traveled to Paris to watch PSG versus Nice. And 4 days later, watched a Champions League game, PSG versus Anderlecht. And the only reason I went to watch PSG was because that season, Neymar became the world's highest paid player, soccer player. And last year, I went to Milan to watch FC Barcelona versus Inter Milan in the Champions League, 1-1. Following day, traveled to Torino to watch Juventus versus Man United, where Man United beat Juventus. And that was, I think, since 2008 or 9, that's what I read, was the first defeat for Juventus in the group stages of the Champions League. And Mourinho went off, obviously, you know, on the pitch, infuriating the oppositions in Torino. So yeah.
This is why I wanted Monty to come on. I was a little concerned that I wanted Chris McCarty to be here. Hopefully, he's in the car on the way down here, because I think I might have found somebody that can take McCarty on for facts when it comes to football. What do you reckon, Arch?
Well, they could go on holiday together as well, because Chris McCarty goes on football holidays, and it sounds as though a good friend here could accompany him, and you could go on a football extravaganza.
Exactly. I have my next plan as well. Hopefully. In May, travel to Barcelona again, maybe for the semi-finals, if Barcelona make it to the Champions League, not sure. But I also wanted to watch the game Barcelona versus Atletico Madrid on 7th April, because I thought that's going to be a big game in the La Liga context of this season. I'm not too sure whether it's going to be Real Madrid second or Atletico second, but looks like it's going to be Atletico Madrid, yeah.
And Monty, what is it for you as well that makes you, I suppose, pay a hell of a lot of money, I imagine it will be, to travel all around Europe to go watch football? I mean, I've been all around Europe watching Liverpool. That's watching my local team kind of when I was a hardcore fan. Used to go to all around England, around Europe and that. The only game I've been to away from England that hasn't involved Liverpool was when I went to watch Barcelona win the La Liga title in Valencia in 2005.
Yeah.
But what is it for you that takes you to all these different stadiums, all these different teams? What's the appeal?
It's passion, basically. Football is what I love. I love to play the game. I love to talk football. I watch football. And, like you said, I have my stats, my facts, everything prepared. And, it's just... it's just something that brings you so much, joy, and football teaches you so many things in life as well. So, yeah.
And what about the culture as well? Because obviously you've been to a lot of different countries, a lot of different kind of stadiums. Obviously, the likes of the Nou Camp, the San Siro, the most historic ones.
Yeah.
Are they been your favourites, or has it been some of the other stadiums that you've gone to, which have maybe don't get the same kind of glamour as they do, but maybe have kind of got something different about them?
That's something I want to first achieve, going to the bigger stadiums. So I've been to the Camp Nou, Bernabeu, San Siro, Parc des Princes. The next probably trip would be going to England, because in England
Anfield,
you have Old Trafford. Yeah, Old Trafford. That's a dream for me to go. But also, why England? Because if I do go on a holiday to London, I could base myself there and easily watch a game like Fulham versus Chelsea, or Charlton Athletic versus name another club. So yeah,
because you probably catch around about five games in London in one day, can't you? Really, let's be honest now.
Just work your way around.
Hopping across the Thames, that's it.
Right, let's work our way across some of the big divisions around the world. Who's going to win them and why? Let's start in Bundesliga. Who will be champions 2019?
Borussia Dortmund.
Big call.
It is a big call, actually.
I know. They're 3 points down, and they haven't been playing lately. I think last six games they haven't really achieved results. Mm. Bayern Munich are catching, but the thing why I say Borussia Dortmund is it's always the same. Bayern Munich. It's good to see another club lift the Bundesliga. That's why I'm backing them this season.
La Liga,
FC Barcelona for sure. Yeah,
for sure.
Second March. Even if they lose, draw, or win, it wouldn't really matter in the La Liga. It's between Barcelona and Atletico Madrid.
Serie A.
Serie A is going to be Juventus. They've already won the league for me.
It's true. He's not wrong.
Ligue 1.
Yeah. The Ligue 1 is going to be Paris Saint-Germain. They've also won the league for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There. So, I really hope that they do have competition next year in Ligue 1, because through Olympique Lyon, Marseille giving them a good fight, but it's always PSG last two seasons.
So that brings us to the Premier League. Careful what you say. You've got a Liverpool fan here. You've got a Man United fan over there.
Yeah. Interesting. Now, I'm talking purely football here, and it's not that since I'm a Man United fan, I'm not going to say, oh, Liverpool's not going to win the league. I really do hope this season that Liverpool wins the league. Yeah.
Is he allowed to say that, Arch, as a Man United fan?
No. Not really. Not really. They're our most bitter rivals, and you want them to get relegated to the.
There is hope, yeah. And you know, there's heart, and then there's head as well. And you're a stats man as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Will they win it?
Liverpool, I think they might just cross the line. But if you do look at the fixtures that Liverpool are coming up against, it's some really big teams. It's starting with Manchester United tomorrow. And I think then Liverpool are playing some big games against Arsenal, Spurs. They're coming thick and heavy for Liverpool. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Is that okay? Yeah, I've been saying since day one of this season that I do expect Manchester City to win the league. And that's why I think Arch and I were having an argument before we came on air today about pressure. And yeah, I'll accept that the pressure is more on Liverpool for tomorrow. They would say that any big club wants pressure because it means that you're in the right place when you're competing for trophies and that. But I think for Liverpool, it's a case of we've got nothing to lose, essentially, because Manchester City, they were a record-breaking team last year. The greatest Premier League winning team ever when you look at the amount of points they got, yeah. The amount of goals they scored, really. So nobody really expected Liverpool to win the league this season. Got nothing to lose going for it. Yeah. But I think tomorrow's game could be absolutely pivotal, because if the result goes Liverpool's way, then suddenly the pressure is back on Manchester City, 3 points back. I think actually after tomorrow, the fixture list is pretty even between Liverpool
and
Spurs.
It's interesting tomorrow, isn't it? Because although it is a Carabao Cup final, but the fact that Man City are in action against a beleaguered Chelsea side, if they were to come out on the losing side there, what that could do to their confidence moving forward. We'll wait for that debate later on. I've got the news in my earphones. They want to get news very shortly. So just enough time, all three of you. Looking ahead to those matches tomorrow. Yeah, okay, Manchester City against Chelsea. We'll talk about that later, but let's talk about the derby, the early kickoff. Manchester United against Liverpool. Who's going to win it and why? Mark Archer?
I'll go for a draw. Score draw, I think there'll be goals in it. I think there'll be plenty of action. It won't be like Mourinho when he was coaching the team parking the bus. So I'll take a draw. But I think Liverpool, I think all the pressure on Liverpool now. And they haven't shown that they can dealt with it over recent seasons. So I think City will win the title.
Danny Norton?
I think Art is wrong when it says to say that Liverpool can't handle the pressure. I think we've already shown this season that we can do.
30 years of not handling pressure.
No, but this season, though, it's a new team, isn't it? Fresh team. So I think Liverpool win 2-1 tomorrow.
Exactly. Haven't done it again. This team haven't dealt with pressure.
So Liverpool win for you?
I think Liverpool win 2-1, yeah.
And the voice of reason between these two as well, Monty.
Well, for me, it's momentum is with Manchester United at the moment under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. So I think it's going to be 3-1 Manchester United tomorrow.
Monty, it's been absolutely brilliant. Yeah, you sticking around for the tennis or not?
Yes, I am. Yes,
right,
I am.
We've got McCarty coming down here around about 6:30. Yeah?
I'll be here. Yeah.
You did a bit of a circling. We want to put you together. We'll put together a bit of a quiz between the two of you, all right?
Okay, I'll be back. Yeah, sure.
Thank you, Monty,
Thank you for that one.
He will be back a little later on in proceedings. If you're down at the tennis, then do come on down and say hi to us. We are talking tennis this afternoon. In fact, we're going to be talking to Dubai Duty Free in just a few moments' time. But there is so much sport to look forward to. And as Dave Kathnack was saying, just a few moments' time, if you're looking for somewhere to watch at Liverpool against Manchester United tomorrow. They're showing it down here at the Irish Village. This should be a belter.
Liverpool have beaten Manchester United Anfield back to the top of the table. A 19-point lead over their bitter rivals.
There are streets ahead. I think the only way it will change is a change in the hot seat.
The huge breaking news is that Jose Mourinho has left the club with immediate effect.
Shot has come home. Yes, how about that? And he's brought that winning feeling back with him. That is traditional Manchester United. That is vintage Manchester United. He's brought the smiles back to Manchester United. What a finish that is by Paul Pogba. Just unstoppable in the moment. Manchester United are taking fourth place in the Premier League.
This is why the red half of the city is starting to believe.
This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 Sports Special, live at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.